Rich, we're considering John chapter 1, the prologue of John in this Christmas season, and we're kind of working our way through that incrementally. If you're joining us for the first time or listening, you can go back and get the previous couple messages, but today we're picking it up at verse 9 of John chapter 1. And we're going to focus primarily on verses 9 through 11, but I'm going to read this morning up through verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is not about a seasonal feeling. It's a life-altering, eternity-securing, life-transforming truth. That's what we're talking about. And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, this is for you. However you may feel about life right now, whether you feel it is as hard as it can possibly be, or you're almost as happy as you can possibly be, this is for you. And today's text is for you, because today's text connects the truth of the Word, the eternal Word, to people in the world. And of course, you're among those if you're hearing this message. In his prologue, John connects the grand themes of the gospel, the truths of Jesus coming, to the rest of his book. In some ways, it's like these buds of a flower just packed with all of the full blossom that will come throughout the rest of the book, the details of Jesus' life and ministry and death and resurrection. John wants us on the front end to be ready for what is coming in the rest of the book. And really, the front end is really the packaging in grand scheme of the significance of what it means that the Word came into the world. The eternal Word came into the world. And what you need most is that message. What everyone needs most is that message. Because this one who was born in Bethlehem came to rescue you. Today's message focuses on verses 9 through 11. We're going to see these truths. We're going to see the implications of these truths that the Word has come into the world. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 9. Once again, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John uses the word world 77 times, again and again and again and again, far more than any of the other Gospels. John is talking a lot about the world, and the significance of the Word coming into the world is the focus. Look at verse 10. He was in the world. He is, of course, the eternal Word, verse 1 and 2, verse 14. And the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. You know, many of the songs of Christmas celebrate this truth. Many of the great carols that we sing celebrate this truth. And sadly, most of the folks in the world who sing these songs or hear these songs don't even know what they're about. So I want you to be commissioned to be a team of people helping folks to understand what it means that word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. They're hearing these words and they have no idea. If you're here and you have no idea, then hopefully by the end of the day you will know exactly what it means. And if you do know, then help others to know, because in that truth is the glorious message that everyone so needs to hear. The Word, that is the eternal Word, and the world, that is this spinning globe on which we live. Today we're going to see how the Word relates to the world. He comes into the world. And the reason He comes is to offer this glorious, amazing reality of a restored relationship with God. We're going to see also, though, sadly, how the world relates to the Word. And the message is rejected uniformly, by default, by the world. And of course, this very, very important issue is an issue that gets personal. And we see in the following verses here, verses 12 and 13 in particular, it's very personal. By the grace working of God, some receive the Word. And that, of course, is the most important issue of life. So the world in John's Gospel, this 47 uses, John moves back and forth in different meanings, depending on the context, very fluidly. And sometimes he means the creation, the universe, especially the earth, the spinning globe on which we live. Oftentimes, though, world means the rebellion, the system opposed to God. And the vast majority of the uses of world in John's Gospel are not positive, they're not even neutral. They are profoundly negative because the system of this world is opposed to God. And we as people in an unredeemed state are a part of that system. We too are opposed to God. And then, of course, world oftentimes means humanity, rebel people of the world. And John moves from one to another, but focuses primarily on the bad and focuses on the person. Focuses on that because the Word has come into the world, then you as an individual person are confronted with your response to the Word, to the glorious message of what the coming of the Word means for the world and for you. And that's what we're going to get at today. The Word and the world. We're going to talk about the creation of the Word, world, W-R-L-D, by the Word, W-O-R-D. The eternal Word creates the world. We're going to talk about the coming into the world of the Word. The eternal Word comes into the world. We're going to talk about the rejecting of the Word by the world. Why? We're going to talk what's behind that. And then we're going to talk about the receiving of the Word by some in the world. And of course, we'll look more at that in the coming message next week. Today's focus primarily John 1, 1 through 9 in context. Let's look first at the creation of the world, W-R-L-D, by the Word, the eternal Word, God the Son. He is the Creator. Think of that. The Creator comes into His creation. And that's, of course, as a creator, that's why he's unique. He's so worthy of praise as God. His coming is so incredibly glorious. It's jaw-dropping to think of that. This is not some crazy myth or whatever this happens all. This is the one-time God revelation in God the Son, the eternal Word, the Creator coming into the world. He's the Creator. Imagine somebody who bought the property, built the house, married a wife, fathered some kids, put those children into that house on that property, the house he built, the kids he fathered, and then dad comes to the door and the kids say, "Get out of here." That's sort of the incongruous kind of thing that happened. That the Word is the Creator, and yet the Word comes to the world and is not welcomed. He's the Creator. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. John's looking back to John, verses 2 and 3, John chapter 1. He's worship worthy. He's the owner of it. It's incongruous to consider it, but that is in fact true. The Creator comes into the world and the world doesn't recognize the very one who owns it, doesn't welcome the one who comes to save it. Creation by the world, of the world rather, by the Word, the eternal Word, creates the world. That's one of those things that John wants us to know in the front end. Of course, it's so important to the grand scheme of this gospel and why believing in Jesus is how one receives life, because he is the Creator, God with us. And then the coming into the world of the Word. Of course, that's what we celebrate at Christmas, that the eternal Word takes on full humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, born of the Virgin Mary. This is astounding for us to consider. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, Luke 2:11. This is God's rescue plan. This is God's revelation in final form to man. This is God's redemption that he offers to rebels. This is God's restoration for the world and those who would receive him. What's central, of course, to this is the cross, that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, that this one is lifted up. And so in being lifted up, those who look to him live. This one is the shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. This is the Son on mission. The one thing he for sure is going to do at the very time he must do it is go to the cross in obedience to the purpose of the Father. And the purpose of all this is so that people might have salvation. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, why does God love the world? There's a lot of misconceived ideas out there. This rebel humanity without distinction to race, nationality, class, or culture. Why does God love that group? It's because the world needs a Savior. It's not because the world is so lovable. It's because the world is so bad. The world is so broken. When you look at the world, this rebel race, when you consider the brokenness all over the place, remember, God loves the world not because it's so lovable. God loves the world because it's so bad and so in need of a Savior. And God, in his grace, sends the Word. The Word, God with us, comes, and he is the only Savior, the only rescue plan. Some may consider there's no escape, there's no salvation for man. In their cynicism, they say, when we die, we rot. Some may think, oh, we can save ourselves and we'll trust science and the goodness of humanity. And of course, the Bible says, nope, there's no salvation comes from us, but there is salvation that comes from outside of us. There is one Savior. This is the revelation. This is the rescue plan. This is the redemption. This is the restoration. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 8:12. He is this true light which gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. Let's talk as we look at this verse from John chapter 1, verse 9. Three aspects of this verse. Just want to touch on them. We're going to talk about everyone. We're going to talk about light, and we're going to talk about coming into the world. Just quickly touching on this. What does it mean that the true light which gives light to everyone? This is not all without exception. This is not that everybody gets saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. This is all without distinction. That is every class, race, economic level, nationality, all believers. There's no kind of pre-qualification other than to believe. And the true light gives light to everyone who believes. The true light which gives life gives light. Let's talk about gives light. All are exposed to the light, yes, but not all are saved. But the Word is the one who makes alive. The Word is the one who works by His grace, by the working of His Spirit, by the working of His Word, so that we believe. And that's verses 12 and 13 describes that more. It's a personal, individual issue. It takes this grand scheme of the world and says, hey, but individual people believe. And He, the Word, gives light so that we believe. And the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Let's talk about coming. There are some translations, if you look at them, that link the coming to men, to humanity. But I believe it refers to the Word, the eternal Word, both because of the context, verse 1, verse 14, even verse 10, that that He was in the world. And to the word frequency of coming. In the Gospel of John, again and again, plug those letters into your word search on your Bible app. Coming and sent. In John's Gospel, again and again and again. Jesus comes, the Word comes, and He's sent by the Father. So John has this abundance of focus on the coming of the Word. And so this is a description of that. John 1 verse 9, it parallels John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh. That more familiar verse, that's actually the heading of our Christmas Word message series slide. So despite this wonderful, glorious truth of the Word coming into the Word, the true light, the Word is rejected by the world. Notice this. Verse 9 connects to John chapter 3, connects to the whole message of John, really. There's this conflict that light has come into the world, and the world says, no, we don't want it. Uniformly not recognizing Him. Rejecting the Word by the world. And by a default setting of not receiving Him. Of course, here, at this point, we're not talking about the spinning globe, are we? We're not even talking about the system, are we? We're talking about individual human beings. The inn in Bethlehem becomes a metaphor for the human heart. No room. Don't want Him. That's the reality of humanity, the rejection of the Word by the world. And we may consider this sounds hopelessly depressing. Even though the light has come, the world rejects it. But of course, there's more to the story. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. But let's consider humanity's rejection. That the inn in Bethlehem is a metaphor of the human heart. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him or recognize Him. Now, some may think, oh, that's a problem of information, or perhaps the mask of His humanity keeping us from seeing the glory of His deity. You ever had that issue recently? Somebody says, do you recognize me? And you're like, and then they pull their mask down. Oh, okay, yeah, especially if they're out of context, right? And you may say, oh, it was just that the mask. No, that wasn't the problem. This is not an information problem or a masking problem. This is a heart openness issue. I'm convinced of that. Based on His teaching, based on His person, based on His ministry, based on His message, based on His death, based on His resurrection, based on His word and who He is, that the world did not recognize Him is not a masking of His humanity causing us to not see His deity. It is that we didn't want to see it. Remember that old spiritual, we didn't know who He was? We might change that to say, we didn't want to know who He was. That's the human heart. That's you and me, brothers and sisters, apart from the grace of God. That's anyone hearing this. You say, oh, why is your default kind of like, I don't want it, I don't need it, not that Jesus stuff? That's a heart issue. Look with me at John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Even when Jesus came, they may go, yay, Jesus is here, the light is here. No, people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. How do we get rescued from that? We'll talk more about that in a minute. But this is the uniformly not recognizing him is the pattern of humanity. Now, why do people resist? Why do people sometimes even think they're doing good by opposing the word? Why did people celebrate the killing of Jesus as a great righteous act? The reason? Because they don't know God. They don't know the truth. So the heart bent away from God resists the things of God even when God comes to rescue. And of course, it's only the grace of God that changes that. We'll talk more about that. But let's look at the default setting of not receiving him. It continues on. And of course, John is setting us up here for what he's going to be talking about throughout the book of John. And it says that he came to his own. Literally in the Greek, his own things or his own place. The word phrase that's used there is used later on of the disciples going to their own home, of John taking Mary to his own home. So it's in the neuter form here. The next phrase is in the masculine form. So his own things is a reference, I believe, to the fact that Jesus sort of, the world was his place. He was the rightful owner of the world. But this place that he rightfully owned, that he came to, said no, did not receive him. And John 1:11b says he came to his own people. In the Greek, it's in the masculine, which is changed from something that's not personal to something that clearly is personal. This is relationship, and this is clearly a reference to the Jewish people. Jesus came, the word came, because of a covenant relationship God had with the Jewish people. And of course, the Bible in the book of John says that salvation is from the Jews, flatly. Salvation is from the Jews. John is not an anti-Semitic book. Jesus is Jewish, John is Jewish. John says salvation is from the Jews. But the Jewish people generally rejected the word. And that is not a Jewish problem, that's a humanity problem. Please understand this. That's you, that's me, that's everybody, that's America, that's the West, that's the East, that's the North, that's the South. That's previous generations, that's this generation. That's the human heart problem. You know, it's as if the default setting on everyone's heart is reject the word. You ever had that issue with your phone or your computer? It's like, I can't use this app. I can't get at this program. And then somebody who knows what they're doing say, oh, wait, you got the default and that's set off. You got to turn that on. Now you can use it, right? Okay, good. You got the default on your heart set, reject the word. Reject God. I want my own way. It's got to be my way. And I'm not going to believe it because it's not my way. That's humanity. Of course, John fleshes this out, but then he also fleshes out the glorious truth that, wait, some do believe. The vast majority of those earliest believers, of course, were Jewish people who saw the glory of the one and only Son came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And those who believe today see the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the receiving of the word by some. That's that. John's telling us about this in the front end because this is where he wants us to go. This is where he wants to lead people to receiving, and he wants those who receive to help others in the world to receive as well. The rejecting of the world, of the word rather, uniformly. In contrast to rejection, God, by his grace, works so that some receive him. John chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read it flowing up through verse 12. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice it's he who gives the right. The word gives new birth by his spirit, by his word, so that people come to be a part of God's forever family. Children of God is not all humanity. Children of God is those who have new birth by receiving and believing in his name. So that's where John is wanting to take people, receive and believe. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice how this now gets very individual. The response to the word. We're going to talk more about this next week. Some are born of God. Miraculously, supernaturally. How? One thing we know, it's by the working of God. Another thing we know, clearly, it's only when we receive him by faith. We believe in his name, who he is as the eternal word made flesh to save us. Let me just speak to those who are believers. So what happens? We believe. We become children of God. Do we just continue on in life and living things the way we used to live? No, not at all. Let's consider some of this. Here's one. You are no longer in darkness. Think of that. Once you believe in Jesus, you're no longer in darkness. I have come into the world, Jesus said, as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. There's a lot of darkness, but you are not in it. Jesus, by his coming, has rescued you from it. Think of that. So you relate to the world and everything going on in a different way because of what Jesus has done for you. You as a believer have been taken out of the world. You may say, wait a second, I'm still here. No, you're here, but you're not a part of that evil world system. John 17, verse 6, Jesus says this about his ministry relative to believers and this whole thing of him coming into the word, coming into the world. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. God rescued us out of the world. So we are no longer of the world, although we are in the world. We're not a part of that evil world system anymore. Don't be going acting like you are. You're not. Jesus said, John 17, verse 16, look at this. They are not of the world. This is speaking of believers. Just as I am not of the world. Do you think Jesus is of the world? Of course not. Well, we're not either, according to Jesus. We've been rescued out of the world. We don't continue to operate the same kind of way, think the same kind of thoughts, engage in that same kind of approach. But not only are we out of the world, we're not of the world, we are sent into the world. You may say, how can that be? Well, Jesus has a mission for us. That's why we're here. So we're out there glorifying Jesus, following him, relating to God and to others in a totally different kind of way on mission. As you sent me into the world, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, so I have sent them into the world. So we are sent out into the world, though we're not of the world. We've been rescued out of the world, but we still do live in the world. That's why we are here as a church community proclaiming the gospel in partnership with other believers, not only here in this area, but throughout the world. That's why you're out there. That's your mission out there. That's where God has placed you, that job, that neighborhood, that family, whatever. That's why you're there. You're being sent out into the world to proclaim this gospel, to point others to Jesus, the one who came to rescue. That's why we're engaged in 21 days of prayer. Not so we can say, oh, it's cool, we start the year with prayer. No, because we are here on mission. We need to remember we're here on mission. We're praying for that impact for my life, this church, our community, and the world through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's some of the glorious implication of the fact that the Word became flesh, the Christmas Word for us. Of course, the purpose of this book and the purpose of Christmas, the Word become flesh, is that we may believe. These things are written so that you may believe, become one of those rescued by God out of the world. Not that default setting of rejection, but by the grace of God, as you hear the Word of God, to say, wait a second. When I click maybe, okay, God, if it's true, I'll believe. Guess what? You do. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Go to those heart settings. Consider it today. And remove the default rejection. Say, okay, God, if it's true, I'll believe. And you will. Because it is. Don't let that default. And plead with others related to that default. Don't let that default setting be rejection. And here's a couple of subtle, sneaky kind of rejection defaults. It's the neglection default. You know what that one is? Yeah, maybe sometime. I'll put it off until later. Well, you just kept it on rejection. Here's another one. The cynicism default. Yeah, everything's a mess. And who cares, right? The cynicism default, rejection default. Today, and for sure this Christmas, receive Him and plead with others, if you have a chance, that they too would receive Him. And let me speak as we close to those who are no longer of the world because you have received Him, who've been rescued out of the world by the Word who came into the world. You now have a restored relationship with God, your Creator. You acknowledge, yeah, you're the one that made it. I need to worship you. I'm here on mission for you. Keep believing. Keep believing. The Word and the Word who came for you. And you know when you do, you know what's going to happen? I believe what you're going to see in your life is a great sense of joy. Why? It's because joy is a function of perspective, and perspective is a function of what you see. And when you see Jesus for who He is, that changes everything. When you see Jesus for who He is, you worship Him. And everything becomes an opportunity to advance His glory and His work. John chapter 1, verse 14b, we're going to talk about this on Christmas Eve. Believers in Jesus see in a new way. We have seen His glory. His glory. Glory as of the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, you can meditate on that one a long, long time. The only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, and you see it. And of course, that perspective changes everything. That perspective is a perspective that fuels joy even in the midst of great difficulty, because the Word, the eternal Son of God, became flesh. I'd like to invite the team to come up. I'm going to invite all of us, just in a spirit of prayer, to go to the Lord right now. Maybe it's related to those default settings in your heart. Say, Lord, I'm ready. I want to be open to receive the Word. The Word become flesh to save me. Who went to the cross for me. Or maybe it's related to your remembering to see and to celebrate the glory of what it means that Jesus came, the Son of God, the eternal Word, came into the world for you. Let's all go to the Lord personally and privately in prayer. Then I'll lead us in a prayer, And then the team's going to lead us in a closing song that really kind of connects to the grand scheme of our lives. When we get to the end of our life, standing before Lord in eternity, what do we want? Let's remember, we want to glorify the Word. Let's pray. O eternal Word, God the Son, we thank you that you came for us, for our rescue, for our redemption. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for us, for our rescue and our redemption. We bow before you. We respond to you in believing that you are who this passage says you are. You are the Word made flesh. We believe in your name as the Word made flesh. God, we pray for your Spirit's working in the lives of those who know you, that we may be filled with adoration and worship because we see the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who is yet to receive, yet to believe, Lord, that you would, by the working of your Spirit, move that heart response from default rejection, Lord, to say, yes, Lord. God, we pray for many, many more in this season, in the coming year as well, Lord, to hear and receive the glorious truth that Jesus came for them, that each one without distinction, Lord, whatever the background, whatever the baggage, whatever the brokenness, by believing in you, becomes part of your forever family. We worship you, Jesus. We want our lives to count for you, Jesus. We want this church, God, to be a reflection of that message and be a part of that rescue plan, Lord, in proclamation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, use us, shape us, mold us for your purposes, for your glory. We ask it and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.
There is a reason for me to be here.